Continue reading in St. Luke's Gospel. In those days, Mary got up and hurried to the hill country, to a town of Judah. She entered the home of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Just as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She called out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? In fact, just now, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed, because the promise spoken to her from the Lord will be fulfilled." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. When the time came for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they were rejoicing with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. They wanted to call him Zechariah after the name of the father. But his mother answered, "No, he will be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." They made signs to his father to see what he wanted to name him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they were all amazed. Immediately, Zechariah's mouth was opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God about all these things. And everyone who heard this took it to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? Clearly the hand of the Lord was with him." His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited us and prepared redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just as he said long ago through the mouth of his holy prophets. He raised up salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, in order to show mercy to our fathers by remembering his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant deliverance to us from the hand of our enemies, so that we are able to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, because you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of God's tender mercies, by which the rising sun from on high will visit us, to shine on those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." The child continued to grow and became strong in spirit. He lived in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. The word of the Lord. So very much is remarkable about the birth of John the Baptist. An angel announced his coming to his father Zechariah, and then immediately struck him dumb, mute, for asking doubting questions. But the reason for his doubts was also remarkable. Zechariah knew just how old he and his wife, who was well along in years, as it's so politely said here in the scriptures, really were. People as old as they were, and they were old, just don't have babies. Just perhaps it's possible that these two human beings were the very oldest two human beings to conceive and bear a child since Abraham and Sarah. Our lesson from 2 weeks ago, where Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. But then just about two-thirds of the way through this pregnancy, a distant relative of Elizabeth's named Mary arrived with news that she had also been visited by an angel. But before Mary could even get much of a greeting out, Elizabeth made sure that Mary knew that the unborn baby John in her womb was dancing for joy. And that led Elizabeth to a most remarkable confession. A confession she made on behalf of her child, but she made it clear. Both she and the child believed Mary's story about carrying the Messiah in her womb. Mary stayed with them for 5 months. She stayed almost until the day of John's birth. But the remarkable incidents just kept coming. Many relatives filled the house with joyful celebration of the Lord's blessing on this old couple who were now parents of a newborn. But when the day came for the circumcision and the naming of this child, they were confounded by Elizabeth insisting that he should be labeled with the name John. They didn't know anyone named John. They certainly had no family record of anyone else being named John back to any generation any of them could recall. But it was an angel who had told Zechariah what this miracle child's name would be. So at the very moment that his father was emphatically spelling out J-O-H-N, that will be his name, his tongue was loosed, and he broke out immediately into a most remarkable song. A song that really left no doubt for us or for anyone else that Zechariah understood. He knew exactly who his son was in God's eternal plan. Nor did he leave any doubt that he would raise this beloved child to understand completely how special he was. John was here on earth to prepare the way. To prepare the way for the Messiah. I hope you enjoy singing the song of Zechariah as much as I do, especially since we'll be singing a very familiar setting of it in just a few moments together. But I also hope you equally enjoy contemplating the amazing knowledge that is presented in this song and how it leaves no doubt about how John the Baptist's birth truly changed everything. Not just for his parents, but for everyone. 2 weeks ago, we contemplated a remarkable birth that changed everything for God's people who were living around BC 2000. Last week, we examined a remarkable birth from almost exactly 1,000 years later. And today, we jump another full millennia. Perhaps the scriptural assurance that to the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years are like a day is particularly appropriate at this moment. Generation after generation of believers waited for this particular moment, the events of our text to unfold. But God's symmetry and timing out his amazing Old Testament promises is remarkable in itself. God might exist outside of time, but God's timing is impeccable. So it shouldn't surprise us, looking back on all of these things from our perch in our moment in history, that seeing the way this all played out 1,000 years at a time, it looks so very clean and so very organized. What else would we expect from God? So we could turn so many directions in contemplation of how the birth of John the Baptist changed everything. But I'd like to focus for just a few moments on a narrow portion of the Song of Zechariah, the specifics of his joyous declarations about his own child in his song, starting at verse 76, if you're looking back at the lesson. "And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, because you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of God's tender mercies, by which the rising sun from on high will visit us to shine on those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." It had really been quite a long time since the nation of Israel knew without any doubt that they had an inspired prophet, a prophet of the Most High among them. A prophet sent directly from the throne of God was no small thing. Historical moments surrounded these men, the experience of every one of these prophets. But the events, the historical events surrounding this child, they were even bigger. The next prophet is the one Isaiah proclaimed would be the one who would prepare everyone for the coming of the Lord. Zechariah, in his song, makes it clear that he understood that the Messiah's arrival was imminent. He could do that because that child had already been in his home, in the womb of his mother Mary. God was coming to dwell among his people. And John the Baptist was the chief advance man for the Lord's arrival. And the very message that John would proclaim is also defined here by his father. Check out the things he says. The baptizer would instruct his hearers about salvation by forgiveness because of God's tender mercies. This is the central message of the gospel from the very first time God promised it to the very first sinners, thousands of years earlier. And yet, to our ears, it sounds very Lutheran, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound straight out of Reformation days 500 years ago? Only Luther built everything that he proclaimed his message on the scriptures, such as the one we have here. So John's message, Zechariah's song and message, was the central message that God was always proclaiming. And yet it managed to run directly counter to everything that the religious teachers of the day and so many in our day were teaching. That it wasn't about making yourself right with an angry God by things that you did out of sense of obligation or guilt, but rather, John's message was all about God giving sinners forgiveness as a gift of his immense and amazing mercy. Then look at what Zechariah references next. The coming incarnation of the true eternal God into our human experience. But he does that very artfully by painting the Messiah as the rising sun. Think on Jesus in the Gospels and how often he either spoke of himself or embraced others, speaking of him as the light of the world. We sit in darkness. Unbelief surrounds us, and death certainly lurks over us. The only light we have is from the only one who can guide us on the way that leads us to peace with God despite our sin. So Zechariah here profoundly previews who the Messiah truly is and what he will accomplish. And the clarity of his vision is perhaps only seconded by Simeon when he held the baby Jesus in his arms on his eighth day and proclaimed all that he did just a few months later. God allowed these faithful men to know what they were seeing, what they were experiencing as the events unfolded around them. And those events absolutely did change everything. Jesus would refer back during his ministry to John the Baptist as the greatest among men, in essence, secondly only to Christ himself. And yet so often, the birth and the life and the ministry of John the Baptist is treated almost as a side note to the account of Jesus. Make no mistake, John the Baptist was a really big deal. And when his ministry began, many took notice. Those awaiting the Messiah knew a forerunner was prophesied, and so when they heard the message of the forerunner, as it was predicted through the pages of Isaiah's prophecy, they were on notice. Those awaiting the Messiah knew a forerunner was prophesied, and so John made sure no one ever mistook him for the one who was coming after him. But John was equally careful and precise about making sure they knew just who it was that was coming after him, how important he was. The birth of John the Baptist changed absolutely everything. So how fitting it was that his arrival would be met with song. Think about that from just the next chapters of the Gospel of Luke, how the arrival of the Messiah himself was met with multiple different inspired songs that the Holy Christian Church continues to sing often in its liturgy through thousands of years. All of these songs of the Holy Christian Church make it clear to us that it's just not possible that our souls wouldn't sing for joy at the unfolding of God's plan of salvation, first in the forerunner and then in the arrival of the Messiah himself. We have to sing in response to everything Zechariah tells us about his own son and about the one who would follow his son when John's work was done. At the moment that Zechariah sang his song in ancient times, the world around him, and especially the believers of his own nation, needed a difference maker. And God sent one who was the perfect answer to the world's dilemma. And God used him to prepare the world for the arrival of the one even greater, who would be the permanent answer to the world's greatest dilemma. In case you were wondering, Zechariah did not overstate it when he sang of his son's arrival, moving humanity from darkness and death to light, peace, and eternal hope. Rather, you and I are to see Zechariah moved, guided, inspired by the Holy Spirit to make sure that you and I would know with certainty how historically important John's arrival was. In essence, his song echoes the ancient scriptures that this child, his child, changes absolutely everything. But then, wait. Wait for the one whom he had prepared his world and the one for whom he has prepared us again today. That child is the ultimate child who absolutely and forever changes everything. Amen.